Sky Sports Radio loves talking racing. The people, the jockeys, the horses. Time now for Punter's Postmortem. Analysis of the weekend's racing, plus your calls. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Yes, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Monday's edition of Punter's Postmortem. And haven't we got a program to look back on? You know, our Everest Racing Carnival is over. What memories horses have given us with jockeys and trainers' performances. Because this week, of course, we go to Newcastle with the running of the Hunter, the brand new $1 million race. And, of course, the week after, we've got the Gong at Kembla Grange. So the Everest Carnival is over in Sydney. Ron Duffersey, as I say, good morning to you. We've had some great weeks of racing.
We certainly have, Andrew. It's been a long carnival, but it's an enjoyable carnival, something to look forward to every week, and that hasn't stopped yet, because just looking at what could be in these couple of races coming up at Newcastle and Kembla, it's still a couple of exciting weeks to go, and then a couple of weeks after that, we move straight into the Villiers. So, you know, the carnival has been long, but it's been full of good horses and good rides, good training performances, and that's not going to stop.
And I don't think there's sort of at any point, sometimes when carnivals, you get the feel of dragging on, you go, gee, this is just going like that. But there hasn't been that case, has there?
No, it's been, you know, since more or less August, it's been all the way through, and it's, there's been no lull at all. It's been just incredible racing.
Yeah, there has been. And Dean Lester.
I must say the tracks have been enormous at this time of year as well. It's Randwick and Rose Hill have been absolutely beautiful.
Well, Dean Lester's still got Sandown. He's still got Ballarat to go down there as well. And he joins us. Morning to you, Dean.
Good morning, Andrew.
Another monster Saturday and a monster week for, well, Danny O'Brien, Craig Williams and Damien Oliver. They really just shone brightly the week of racing.
Yes, they stole the show, didn't they, with fantastic training effort from Danny O'Brien, both in the Cup and the Oaks, and Craig Williams and Damien Oliver. And Craig, not happy with the week at Flemington, went and won the Singapore Gold Cup last night. So.
Yeah, what about that last night? He doesn't mind travelling, and he teams up with Lee Friedman, Dean.
Yes, indeed. And I think Lee tweeted that was his first winner when he went to Singapore, that horse, and now winning the Singapore Gold Cup.
Yep, well done to Craig Williams. And Glenn Munsey's with us from TAB. Morning to you, Munns.
Yeah, good morning, Andrew. Good morning, Ronnie. Good morning, Dino. Doesn't have to end, does it? Can't we have good racing every week of the year?
We're going to try, because this Hunter, and I reckon the Gong with the Clapper and a few others going that way, they're going to stand up pretty high, Glenn.
Yeah, and it's a great opportunity for those people in those centres, Newcastle and Wollongong, to really embrace racing in their backyard, because, you know, they don't get the opportunity to see, you know, the absolute top-quality horses, the top-quality riders. And I tell you what, they're going to get some top-quality horses. There's a horse like Le Romaine's going to go around in the Hunter on Saturday. It'll only be the third time that he's raced on his home track, and he's managed to race on all three tracks that they've had at Newcastle. The original Broadmeadow, the new Beaumont, and now the reconstructed Newcastle track. That's not a bad effort for your only three runs in your life at home.
Yeah, it is, and we can't wait to see him. Hugh Bowman's been booked to take the ride there. Aaron Bullock did get suspended on Saturday, but Aaron let me know last night that Hugh was going to be on the horse anyway, even before Aaron Bullock's suspension. Well, where do we start, Dean? Duff. Dane Gazelle gives Peters and Paul Snowden the first $1 million running of the Golden Gift, and they weren't happy with that. They also plonked into third.
Yeah, they did. They had a good day, Team Snowden. They won three races on the day, and obviously they quinellaed the other race as well, the Hot Danish with the Reel 'Em In Ruby and Moss Trip. So they went to the races with limited runners and come out with some really, really nice results there. But yeah, like I said earlier, I was a bit worried 10 days out from this Golden Gift what the field was going to shape up like. I think as it ends up, it's going to be very strong form. You know, I like to judge the two-year-olds with the times with the older horses on the other day, and it stacked right up and even better than the Luciello and the Stefan races. So she has made a giant leap from her first start, Dame Gazelle, and did everything right, sprinting quickly, putting a gap in them late there. In saying that, See You Soon was very good, with the wide draw being ridden negatively, like she had to be, and just got hampered halfway down the straight, and it was very hard for first starters at 1,100. So he's a lovely, lovely horse, plays a trial. He'll make the grade in the autumn, and so will Selsa Beale. She is oozes class, oozes it.
Gee, she got home good.
Yeah, she was stood out in the yard amongst the fillies there, along with the winner. But she's got so much to offer that filly.
I know. Great advertisement, Andrew, for the pre-race and interviews that are done on the radio. I know you interview every trainer that possibly has a licence and those that are still wishing to get one in the history of racing in Australia each and every day and every week. But the Snowdens had four runners in this race, and Peter came out and said, well, Dame Giselle's the best of them. That was just straight out.
Yep.
It wasn't an $11 chance. It's not a bad effort.
Yep.
Yeah, no, you're so right. Starts $13. I know we're going to talk a lot about this between now and Golden Slipper time, but it's now got the money in the bank, the winner.
Oh, she has. You know, he loves to time his run to perfection, Peter and Paul. So they can take their time trying to get a peaking up for the slipper, and they haven't got a lot to do with Blazer Trail to get him over the line as well. So it's a good head start if you've got a nice horse. And I think trainers will be thinking a little bit. Other trainers will be thinking a little bit differently about this race next year. You know, we've all got our mind around, you know, the Breeders' Plate Jim Crack Stakes, and how that's a great head start to for your slipper preparation. But this is next level.
Yeah, it appears to be. And we look forward to your calls on 1353 53. And, of course, you can SMS through on 0419 767 272. You can start doing that now, and we'll bring them up to the boys. 0419 767 272. And, of course, we'll take your calls in the back half an hour. You can ring now, though, and 1353 53 is the number there. Dean, watching from a distance, what do you think of the Golden Gift?
Yeah, I thought the winner was very impressive, Andrew. Loved the turn of foot displayed, and as Duff said, See You Soon didn't lose any admirers with its performance. But, it was certainly a great result for the Snowden stable.
What'd the market do, Glenn? Did you just say Wusho its favourite now because it's got the money?
Well, that was one of the major reasons, Andrew. It was a $51 chance before the race, but now, because of the prize money earned, it becomes the number one seed for the Golden Slipper, and it won't be losing its spot in the race through prize money anyway. So it then was made the favourite as a $13 chance, a pretty wide market anyway. You got Every Rose and Glory Quest, who we saw Breeders' Plate and Jim Crack Stakes. They're $17 each of two. Balex out of that day as well at $26. Blazer Trail out of Saturday, a $26 chance. Basically enough prize money there for it to guarantee itself a run in the slipper. And plenty of others there at the $26, including See You Soon and Tanker, that also raced on Saturday on that line.
Okay, so that's the current market for the Golden Gift. What did you mentioned Selsa Beale there, Duff? What about horses like Melkovic and Sidearm? You know, looking forward to the autumn.
Yeah, they're raw horses. It's very hard from it. You know, at the 1100 there, Melkovic had, you know, gone through that ready to run process and been revved up and taught to run, to run time, and he ran a good race and just blew out the last little bit there. And Sidearm is going to be work in progress. He's just a nice horse who's, you know, doesn't look your natural, you know, brilliant 2 year old, but it looks a horse that will improve, and obviously John likes him.
Yeah, for sure. The other feature you mentioned, the Hot Danish, goes to Reel Him In Ruby. And Moss Trip, the last couple, they'd be pretty happy to have her back.
Yeah, she's back. She's back. She can be competitive next time she steps out, and be a real winning chance. And where Reel Him In Ruby is the type of mare that, you know, she's stamped herself right up at that 1400 now. So you could treat her as a, you know, Coolmore Classic type of mare in the autumn. There's no doubt about that. She's got a lovely racing style. She's got a level of consistency, and she's got a touch of quality and class. So she just put paid to them in two strides there.
And Eldorado Dreaming sort of had the light on out wide.
She did. That's a better run from her. She was wound right up first up there, and she showed some form. It's been a while, and the eye catcher was Lover Lover as far as the gong concerned. 1400's too short for her. She was running on strongly. She's got good Kembla form, and she'll be highly fancied in that race at odds, I'd suggest.
And Glenn, well done to Lizzie Jelts. Went into a photo, but she was she'd picked Stefan out of the yard and gets the big money.
Yeah, you wouldn't know it, Andrew. She's very quiet about it, too, on Saturday. You know, very unassuming, Lizzie, when she finds a winner. And then, of course, went straight into the sausage in the last. So about 250-1, the double, if you all up them, Stefan and sausage there. And she was having a... She said, I'm having a dirty day, you know. Well, she had to have some sort of luck, because for the second time in history, a bird emptied itself onto Lizzie at the races.
Okay.
So it was only a matter of time. And as Lizzie said in her immortal words, the first time it happened about 12 months ago, the bird toileted on her. But this time it missed a hat and actually got a leg. So it was only a matter of time until she did find a winner, because that is a good system there when a bird does...
Droppings,
yes, thank you. I was looking for the correct word there, Andrew. So she finished strong. She was probably looking for race number 10 there. She was on a high there at one stage.
Yeah, no, she was on fire. And even Greg Radley Duff spoke with Gratz Vella, and he gave it a little push before the race as well.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, so he's been a lightly raced horse considering his age, and he's obviously very talented. And Gratz has done a really good job with him, and he had excuses first up when he slow out and got too far back, and showed his real form there on Saturday, and got there after a beautiful ride by Tommy.
Yeah, for sure. We had Peter Snowden on in those long lists of interviews, Munns, that you spoke about, and he legged us up on a couple there, and California Longbow was one on Saturday morning to win that benchmark 78 race.
Yeah, well, how good's the form behind, the horse that it finished behind at Warwick Farm, Pancho. Pancho went on to win, of course, at Flemington on Oaks Day. And it's now the third individual winner out of that race, California Longbow. There was only eight in it.
Mm. Yeah, it tells us how strong it is, Duff.
Yeah, and he's already won up to 2200 California Long Bay, so he's a middle distance horse in progress, who's heading in the right direction. And it was just a benchmark race there on Saturday, but he got the job done well. And another one, he got a beautiful spot and capitalised on it.
A few of the highlights there. We'll just discuss a few more as we go through, and we invite your SMS on 0419 767 272. And the first one that drops into the system summarises it, Dean, I think how we all thought. Nature Strip, simply awesome. There isn't a faster horse in the world. Can't wait for him at Ascot. It was a brilliant win again down the Flemington Straight.
Yeah, that's, I think, a massive key to him, Andrew, is the Flemington Straight, because not so much of that hustle-bustle trying to get to a first turn, or he's 4 from 4 down the Flemington Straight, and he was absolutely brilliant on Saturday. He put the writing on the wall in the Everest. It was a fantastic run. Drew the outside gate that day too, and was able to come across and do his own thing. So I think it's a massive key to him, is the first 300 metres of a race, how that sets up, and from there he can use his brilliance.
Well, he just built so beautifully, didn't he, Glenn?
Well, the fact that he drew the outside fence and he lobbed straight to where he was, and he dictated the race to the rest of them. And, everyone said, oh, you'll never settle, he'll never settle. Well, he couldn't have gone the first, 400 metre of the race much slower. And they were a million to one, 600 metres from home to get him. And, the market definitely got it right, because he was a significant firm in that race on Saturday.
Yeah, you got to give it to them. They were all calling for blood when they tried to hold him up first up, and it backfired on him. But he was work in progress, typical Wallace style. You know, as Dino said, you'd still like to see him do it round a bend, settle like he does down the straight, and he does love that outside barrier where you can take your time and not worry about horses, chopping you off. So you can time him better from inside or from outside draws. There's no doubt about it. But boy, when he's brilliant, there's none better.
There is certainly none better. So how do we relate it to Royal Ascot, Dean? Can we relate a straight course across the world?
Oh, I suppose you've got to, and you think that the first day,
the five furlong race,
and even the second day, you know, on the backup if you wanted to. So, I think they've got to, you know, sort of go that way. He's won three Group Ones now, so he's going to be highly weighted in a race like the Newmarket. The Lightning's there as well down the straight, but he's, yeah, probably long term that's where he's aiming.
So he wins by the margin that he did, and did it in great times and everything. But what do we take then of Loving Gabby in her time, Elise, and Santa around the lane?
I think Loving Gabby ran well. She's a terrific filly and ran well in her time, much better. She's another one that likes the straight. Santa around the lane, just you could tell 600 out, he was just not on, and he battled on and hit the line with Elise, but he was never a factor, and it was. It was a long way out that Nature Strip was going to win that race.
Yeah, understand. The race before at the Queen Elizabeth, a lot of discussion if True Self had made the Melbourne Cup, where could he have finished in the race? Have you got a feeling?
Very highly, I would have thought. She's a good stayer. She relaxes and has got an ability to quicken. The ultimate is from the great wordsmith Ryan Moore, who said she's a pretty good stayer, but she's no slug. So that must mean she's got a bit of dash about her.
I think he opened up a bit more on Saturday.
Oh, he smiled at the horse and everything.
He smiled and spoke with Brittany Graham, who was doing the stuff for the 10. Really opened up there on occasions, Dean.
Yeah, no, he's coming around. He'll be running down the straight with bottles of champagne soon.
Yeah, good luck.
What do you think of that win, Duff?
No, I think she's an incredible mare. I think she's done some hurdling, hasn't she?
She started as a hurdler. She's only been racing on the flat for 18 months.
That's incredible. Mm. That's incredible. That would never happen here. Mm. She has got a hurdler and a stayer to win 8 from 19 in 5 seconds. She's very much underrated. We're going to have another look. Well, I don't know if we can have another look at it, but this Geelong Cup is you know, back in business as far as the form's concerned, with Prince of Arran and her coming out of that race.
Yeah, oh, it is. I think it got too good for a little while there, that people were frightened to go there, you know, through the Americane Dunedin, that sort of era. It was a very good race this year. And, he's Willie Mullins, what's he brought, 4 or 5 here to Australia. Simenon should have won a Herbert Power and run fourth in a Melbourne Cup. And Max Dynamite placed in 2 Melbourne Cups and this mare. So he's one of the great trainers of the world.
It'll bring that story up about qualifications for the Melbourne Cup again. It just, well, Prince of Arran beats it. It gets in and runs second. Doesn't get in and comes out and trots in that race on Saturday.
I'm sure I read a story yesterday. Aidan O'Brien, he must look at facts and figures, and I'm hearing he wants to come out and target that Geelong Cup with his horses.
And the Bendigo Cup too.
And the Bendigo Cup, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, True Self wins. Cariff, though, following off again the comments of Peter Snowden in the morning, Ron. I backed it because I thought, I can't just ignore how confident he was with that twinkle in the eye for the future.
Yeah, look, he's Peter likes him, and he's only a young 4-year-old. He's got to race his way into the cup next year. He's got to win something like a Sydney Cup or a Metrop or something like that to get his prize money and rating up, and he'll be given every opportunity.
It'd be exciting for them because, I mean, they're stallion makers and the early comers to have a stayer in the stable with that sort of future. I think it would be something different for them.
Oh, definitely. You know, I think Peter's, that's what excites him the most. He's saying, well, I've never had a horse like this, you know. He's all, you know, you, I'm not saying he hasn't had a lot of stayers, but he's more of a 2-year-old, get him up, get the big results. But to have a challenge of a cups horse, which is very rare for Australian trainers these days, because Peter hasn't got any imports in his stable, where Chris is surrounding himself with a few now and with that, you know, that big cup stream in mind. So Peter's got one little, fly in the pie here, and he's going to work with him.
Yeah, no, it's a good result for him for sure going forward. You mentioned Aidan O'Brien there, Duff, the wand, magic wand on the quick backup after the Melbourne Cup, and well done to TJ Cumberford and Yvonne, who are obviously staying with the horses at Werribee, and they said to Aidan, no, we've got no reason not to run.
Yeah, well, they were proven correct, weren't they? Well, she had the Cox Plate form, but then going to the Melbourne Cup and back to this McKinnon is intriguing. Obviously, not being the gut-busting Melbourne Cup we usually have would have really helped her. But I thought it was a great ride. He took runs there that were nearly not there. So it was a good ride on a good mare. But geez, Melody Bell, how good is she?
Yeah.
How good is she? You think she's already had a grand finals, and then she's a mile back there, and I thought her finishing effort was unbelievable.
Mm. Yeah, no.
What do you think, Duff?
She was phenomenal. The way she quickened, because she virtually was marking time there when she got held up, and the way she quickened down was an incredible run in defeat.
Hugh Bowman gave Hartnell every possible chance there, Dean.
Yep, they put him in the race to win. He was there to win. He gave a beautiful cart to Magic Wand, unfortunately, and he ran his heart out. He ran really well at his last race start.
Yeah, it was a great send-off, Duff. They did it well, Godolphin.
They did. Yeah, there's some of those their high-quality videos they're sending out, even going into the Everest. That was amazing what they did there with that. If you haven't seen that, hour and a half, whatever it was, you'll find that on YouTube. That's unbelievable production. And they made it all happen there, and how it all unfolded with his a fitting farewell.
And Reggie Fleming, who normally likes to be in the background, Dean, he got a lot of publicity, I guess, around that he'll be the custodian and the horse will go and be a show jumper. But you could see just how it affected him in the lead up and particularly on Saturday.
Yep. Oh, that's Reg. He's love of the horses, and that horse will get a great life post racing now, and as well deserved.
And a couple of others. We'll chat about these in the back half an hour, but just a couple of others. Rachel Vick winning that race and now heading back to Perth, Dean, for the carnival over there for Lindsay Smith, who has obviously only got a small team at the Bull, but he leaves his mark when they run, don't they?
Yeah, they're running well, and he's a good style of horse for the railway. He won't get excessively weighted. He's got a good turn of foot, which is what you need at Ascot off that bend, and I could see him running really well in the railway.
And what about the noble boy, Duff? He got a fair way back, but Brody Loy brought him up the inside, and I thought at one stage there with the angle of the camera that he was going to just shoot up the inside and win it.
Yeah, so did I. I saw a few horses do that on Saturday. I'm just wondering whether that was the right place to be.
No, definitely not.
No.
I thought his run was enormous, given how the track was by that stage.
I'd have to agree.
Girl Tuesday was in there too, I think.
Similar, yeah. So there was a few horses that darted through and didn't go on with the job. So looking at the replays, I think most people think, maybe you'd be forgiving anything that made ground along the inside.
Yeah, but I don't think he possibly would have figured in the finish had he sat back where he was and went all the way around them.
Yeah, understand.
I think the ground that he saved when he did drive up there, I know that, and he hit the sort of the quicksand in the last 200 metres, but I don't think he could have went back and around them and still made the ground that he did.
Hmm. In saying that, I think this young track curator's really got a grip on this Flemington track. We're usually talking about bias, one or two days over the carnival, but I thought that Flemington track played terrific all the way through, considering rain the first day and whatever. There was no real negative about it.
Yeah, no, he's very good, Liam O'Keefe. Does a fantastic job.
I think it comes down to there's just so many horses, isn't there, over the 4 days?
Yeah. And he had no favours with the weather. I mean, even the lead-in, we had 32, 33-degree days, and they're saying it's going to pour. If it didn't rain, he would have had a fast one on the first day. I thought he played it magnificently.
Yeah. And what about the future of Ocean X here?
That's about as good as she can achieve, I would think. It was a good win, and she can win in similar grade again in the autumn. She's had a lot of hard luck stories, but Saturday, ironically, when the fence was off, the first her and Reykjavik won the first two legs of the Quaddie off Barrier 1, and she, as you said, Duff, very smart ride from Jai McNeil.
All right, we're going to take plenty of your calls. You can phone in, have a chat to the guys, Ron Duffersey, Dean Lester and Glenn Munsey. You can ring now, 13 53 53. We'll chat about the carnival over the last half an hour of the program, but you can, more importantly for us, are your calls, 13 53 53. We can take them now for Punters Postmortem, and of course you can SMS through on 0419 767 272. Here's Maddie now with the latest in sports news.
Morning to Andrew. Well, the Kings are back in the winner's circle after a 104-85 win over the Wildcats in Sydney last night, while Melbourne United came from behind to beat the 36ers 109-90. Scott McLaughlin has said he'll keep a lid on championship celebrations until the season finale in Newcastle, after wrapping up his second title with an event to spare yesterday. Riley McGree continues to find the back of the net in the A-League, guiding Adelaide United to a 1-0 victory over Brisbane Roar last night, while in Melbourne, victory secured a 1-1 draw, and Wellington Phoenix, they claimed victory over Sydney FC. They're taking them on this weekend as well. And in Premier League this morning, Liverpool have moved 8 points clear at the top of the table after a 3-1 win over Man City this morning. And in cricket, Steve Smith will return for New South Wales in the Sheffield Shield at the SCG today. That's all the latest in sport on Sky Sports Radio, your home to Sydney's spring racing carnival.
The 2019 National Greyhound Draft is happening Sunday, November 17. It's simple, it's exciting, and it's affordable. For more info and to read Primary Securities PDS, which you should read before applying, head to 2019draft.com.au.
Sky Sports Radio combines with Harness Racing New South Wales to bring you On The Pace. Brittany Graham, Chris Barsby and Mark McNamara preview and analyse all the feature racing with trainers and drivers inside mail. Sunday to Friday mornings from 10:30. On The Pace on Sky Sports Radio.
Nova Employment has been matching businesses to staff with ability for over 28 years and have an unbeatable track record of success. Nova can assist businesses of all sizes.
Hi, I'm Angela Basalo from Vasco's Charcoal Chicken. We gave Nova Employment the chance to find us the right worker for our business. They found us a very focused, reliable and hardworking employee. I'd recommend other employers to focus on ability.
Recruiting? Choose Nova Employment, Sydney's premier disability employment service. Visit novaemployment.com.
It's almost here. The biggest race of the year. The social event of the season. $1 million at stake. And best of all, it's all happening in your own backyard. Your day to play is finally here. Punter Race Day, Saturday, November 16th, Newcastle Racecourse. Tab, long may we play.
Gamble responsibly. Call Gambler's Help 1-800-858-858.
This is Punter's Postmortem on Sky Sports Radio.
Yes, it is, and we're taking your calls on 13 53 53. Anything through the carnival you want to chat and reminisce with the boys about Saturday, 13 53 53. By the way, guys, Prince of Arran's running today.
Yeah, Lismore.
Lismore, race 6, number 2 for Mary Ann Brosden there, Glenn. It's second pick at $4.20.
Yes, because we had the situation this time last year, Andrew. It was the Prince of Arran, I think you'll find.
A Prince of Arran.
Or A Prince of Arran. Thank you, Dean. I knew it had a little addition to its name, yes. But he doesn't have sort of the success rate as the overseas-trained Prince of Arran, the Australian-trained Prince of Arran.
No, good luck to Marianne and Matt McGurran taking the
speaking
ride.
Speaking of Prince Arran, he was going to go to Japan. But because he wears a barrier blanket, and they don't have barrier blankets in Japan, so he's not going to Japan. He's going to go to Hong Kong, and Michael Walker will stick with him.
Yeah, good news there. Righto, let's get a cracking. 13 53 53. You can talk to Ron Duffersey, Dean Lester, and Glenn Munsey, and Tony's our first call. Morning to you, Tony.
Good morning, gentlemen. Glenn, just before I ask you a question on odds and evens, I'd like to ask the other four, or the four of you, a yes or no. I know your answer, Duff. Il Paradiso wins the cup. Hello?
Yeah. Dean, what do you think? I guess the start was so costly.
Well, yeah. It's an interesting one because I think if he'd begun well, I think they'd have ridden him closer, and I think he'd have been very one-paced then. But they rode him back and because of the start. So in the context of that race, yes, he should have won because he was the stewards have virtually said that, haven't they, with the the margin fourth against the second against first and then fourth against second. So the stewards have virtually said he should have won, yep.
Fair, especially the side on view. He was
His momentum was huge.
So well, the good news is, Tony, we're going to get to see him now that he's going to stay here and be trained by Chris Waller.
Well, you'll have my money. The other question, Glenn.
Yes, Double A.
Can you just tell me the purpose and the logic of odds and evens?
Well, it's like it's reinventing your business. If you keep your business stale with the same things operating all of the time, you'll have to innovate. You'll have to, you know, bring new people are betting all the time. So you can't be just aiming at the same pool of people all the time. So it was a product brought in as a younger person's bet type, so they didn't have to really sort of research, do the form. It's a quick, it's easy. It's the way that it's going. Everything aimed towards your mobile phone. That's the greatest source of betting we've got at the moment. And, mate, once again, it's innovation.
Fair enough.
Plenty of organisations throughout the world have tried different things. Some have been successful, some haven't. But if you don't reinvent yourself, and funnily enough, I had a discussion about, not about odds and evens, but reinventing yourself with a couple of very, very high-profile people over the carnival, and they said exactly that. If we stay the way we are, we're not going to attract any new people to come to the races.
Very eloquent, very articulate, and very explanatory. Excellent, Munsey. I'm proud of you.
He'll be hitting the ball later on after 10. He'll think of you, Tony. Thanks a lot, mate. Tony, let's go to Mark. Morning to you, Mark.
Oh, good day, Ben. Look, mate, I have a personal tribute for Hartnell. In my view, he exemplified a thoroughbred. I spotted him at Warwick Farm in a trial. He came in ahead of the who shot the barman and then was beaten very short after that by Contributor, who had his life truncated as a racehorse for different reasons. But Harden has left us, mate, with a lot to think about, and he holds the Randwick record for the mile, and he carried that at top weight, and he did that when he was 8 years old.
He's a star, Duff, isn't he, Hartnell?
He's a much loved horse. There's no doubt about it. He's everyone's got a soft spot for Hartnell, and he's going to live the life of luxury. Put it that way.
Any more, Mark?
Oh, look, it's just interesting that Hartnell was always ready to face the race and face the handicapper. And there have been a lot of other star horses of recent times which haven't done that. He exemplified himself at handicap and at weight for age.
Yeah, he never dodged a contest, Hartnell.
No, he put himself... As soon as he arrived here, they put him straight into a group race and they matched him with Contributor, who was up and going as well for the stable. And from that moment onwards, he met the very best. Good on you, Mark. Thanks for the tribute on Hartnell.
Lovely.
Good on you, Mark. Just ahead of Michael, our next call on 13:53:53. A couple of these coming through. Well done to Mark Hunter. He had a strong tipping day on Saturday. Tip the quaddy. And also one here for you, Dean, from PI. Thanks to Dino for tipping Warning early. He managed the all-up winners on the Cup, the Cox Plate, the Derby, the Melbourne Cup and the Oaks. He won a real significant amount of money.
He wasn't that customer that turned, I think it was $5 into 20,000 or something, was it? They backed all five winners.
Well, this one he says at 34,000 to one was with those winners. He said, Dino, please let me know your favourite charity for a bit of donation. Have you got one that comes quickly to mind?
You can go to Kidney Health Australia.
Kidney Health Australia. Beautiful. All right. So thank you to PI for that and go and celebrate. Well done on all of that. Let's go to Michael on Punters Postmortem. How are you, Michael?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
All's good here. Yep.
All good. I've got one for Dean and Ron. I'm a quaddy punter. And I am really frustrated, Dean especially, my Melbourne quaddy punter. Every time I look every Saturday afternoon now, the last race is a mare's race. Why?
Yeah, it used to be a bit of a joke down here, but and disappeared for a while. But yeah, it was back there on certainly on Derby Day.
Yes, it was the last 2 weeks. And I'm looking at the program here now, and I've got the form in front of me from Satellite. I'm looking the race before with the big Group One sprint. It would have encouraged people to invest more in the quaddie, I think. If that was included in the quaddie and got rid of the mare's race, I reckon the quaddie pool would have got to 5-6 million.
Well, it simply comes down to, like, maybe the numbers in that sprint race, Glenn.
Yes.
It's still a good contest, though. It doesn't have to be a big field, does
it?
Okay,
right,
no. But that's what they're probably looking at, aren't they? I mean, am I wrong thinking that?
Well, they weren't going to make the McKinnon the last race to start with. They've had that trial in Melbourne about making their feature race the last race on the day, and it hasn't really been successful.
Well, Saturday was an open, was a restricted sprint, the Grand Handicap.
It was a benchmark 80 Saturday. Yeah.
So, Dean, listening to you there, would you mind then that Derby Sprint Classic being a leg of, you know, being in the quaddie?
I was surprised it wasn't. Yeah, I thought it would be a good chance of being that, and probably the Reykjavik race might have been the race 5, race 6, the Matriarch, and the two Group 1s back-to-back, or a race between them, and then finish they did.
Sorry, Dean, but I've got a little bit of a theory about why they do it, and you can confirm it. I think it's because for quaddie punters, they look at a mare's race, and they've got to go wide.
I was pretty happy with Amangiri being in the last leg of the quaddie a couple of weeks ago at Moonee Valley. So
it was 97.3% of the population.
I've been knocked out, but you know yourself, you've probably been knocked out by a mare that's just got the right run. Bingo. You know, they're very even lot sometimes, especially the mare race, and like benchmark 90s and things like that. I mean, that's just silly, you know. But anyway, I just wanted your opinion. Thank you for your opinion.
Good on you, Michael. Appreciate that.
Just a media release from Queensland Racing. They're changing, well, putting some more prize money in there. They've got a series on the Future Champions series, so they're pouring money into these two-year-olds on the back of, obviously, the Autumn Suns, the Zoo Stars, the Brazen Bows, the press statements, and obviously a nice two-year-old, late two-year-old always comes out of Queensland. So they've staged on May 9, $250,000 for the Champagne Stakes. On May 23, the Sires has gone up $600,000 from $400,000 to $1 million. And the JJ Atkins has gone up 400 from 600,000 to a million on June 6. So they're pouring money into a future champion series over the winter carnival for the two-year-olds. Mm.
And this is on the back of changing their summer carnival regarding the Magic Millions by changing the week before the Magic Millions now to boost the two-year-old races at the Gold Coast. And the Gold Coast meeting now, the Saturday before Magic Millions, will be the feature race in Queensland, the feature race meeting. And speaking about all of that, their summer carnival launch is actually next Tuesday morning on the beach at the Gold Coast.
Is it? Get an invite, did you?
Oh, yeah. Can't go there.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Yeah. Pass it on.
You want to pass it on?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, pass it on to Duff. He's probably going to be up there. 13:53:53. Another Michael's joining us on Punter's Post Morning. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you, mate?
Yeah, excellent, mate.
And I'd just like to say good morning to all your colleagues there as well, instead of mentioning all their names. And I'd like to pay tribute to Mark Hunter. I follow him every Saturday almost, and I'd like to thank him for tipping the quaddie.
Yeah, no, he would say thank you for that. He, you know, we get that's why we've got him on. I don't want to embarrass Dean while he's on, but I'm going to. We put a lot of effort into trying to get the right people to do our form tips, and certainly Mark and Dean do an absolute fine job every Saturday, but during the week as well. And we're very proud to have both of them, Michael.
Yeah, mate, I concur with yourself, and I only had a small percentage of it, but it was very nice. Thank you very much.
Good on you.
And
all right, Mike.
And there's nothing better than someone getting you out of trouble in the last race.
Jeez, it's beautiful.
Yesterday, Townsville, Tony Wode's best bet of the day won the last. Mick Wallace's best bet of the day at Warren was in the last race and won. So, you know, they're, well, I suppose you say, in a way, too, it is their job. If they weren't, tipping winners, they wouldn't be, well, not that they wrap themselves, but if they're not tipping winners, they'd be filthy because they're not tipping winners and they're costing people money.
Yeah, exactly. 1353 53 is the number. SMS 0419 767 272. And one here, kudos, Dean, to the following. Mick Price and Michael Kent Jr. with 3 wins from 5 starters for the week. Also, Greg Urell, Robbie Griffiths, and there was another one mentioned there. Dean Yendel all kept up their recent years on Cup Week at Flemington as well.
Yeah, it was. Mick Price has never usually been much of a player at Flemington because he really does target his home track at Caulfield. But they did a little bit differently this year, and 3 winners from 5 runners sort of reflects that. So they had a great week.
And we should mention the Melbourne Cup because we haven't been on during the week to talk about it. But what a week it was, Dean and Ron and Glenn, for Danny O'Brien, particularly for everything that he's been through in the last few years. He could have easily said, oh, I'm out of this. But he stayed around and he's come back. He's won a Melbourne Cup. He's won an Oaks and he's won other significant races during the week, Dean.
Yeah, he's been very resilient, Danny, and this week or the last week has been the justification of that, and he was it was probably he was going to be the Australian trainer I thought that would win a Melbourne Cup because he's so good with the stayers, and he's quite open to doing something different, Duff, like that horse won the Tats Cup at 3,000 metres back in June. It just gave him 2 runs before the Melbourne Cup.
Incredible. He knew his horse, and it'd been a plan all along. And I don't think I've seen a better ride to judge that the map wasn't running to script and to go forward on that horse. I think most people thought that there would be a 3 or 4 surges in that Melbourne Cup. And for Williams to ride his own race and do what he did in that race, I thought it was an unbelievable ride. The ride of the year.
Well, when they went past us, Ronnie, and we watched the race in the Sky Channel marquee, which is just at the turn out of the straight, and we both looked at each other and said, what about this?
Yeah.
He's at barrier 21. He's on the fence.
Yeah, that's right. And he wasn't really part of the speed battle, really. And he was the only one that judged the speed, not the map. And, well, no, I won't say the only one, but yeah, considering, you know, 4 of the 5 crossed the line, we're settled in the first 4 or 5. It was a masterstroke.
And we mentioned Van de Clare, but the other Australian particularly that was prominent, Dean Lape, was Surprise Baby, getting a fair way back in a race that had no pace to finish off.
Yeah, well, they drew side by side. It's a tale of the two different rides, Andrew. He was tremendous in defeat, Surprise Baby. Huge run. Yeah, huge run. I think, I just think a few of the riders would like to have had their time again. I think Murder Glass was enormous. Had the best, I think, last 200. But down the straight, the first time was 5th or 6th, and then by the time they got to the 800, being shuffled back to 3rd or 4th last. So I thought Murder Glass's run in defeat was enormous as well.
And she's boat attendant.
Yeah, really disappointing.
Even Cross Counter, but like he, I think the plan was for him to be right there in the run, and he just didn't begin that well, and he was then had to do that work with the extra weight this year. I still thought his effort was very good.
Yeah, the Oaks, Miami Bound, again, just putting the combination of O'Brien and Oliver together, Dean, and well, now we know that Danny's off to Miami for the Super Bowl next year.
Yes, and she looked the Oaks winner when she won at Bendigo in early September, then ridden a little bit close near Bob Manifold. I thought she was a little bit plain in the Norman Robinson, but that was the race that provided the Derby and the Oaks winner this year, so it was a good reference, and she was spot on for Cup Week to win the 2 races.
It was just she you could see around the bend on Thursday, Ollie just had her travelling.
He did. She'd been 3 wide the trip, but she had Vegas Bound in front of her, giving her a bit of cover, and she just relaxed. It was very similar to how he rode Jamaica about 3 or 4 years ago when she won the Oaks and just brought her into the race quite early, but then she just, her staying prowess came to the fore.
Yeah, exactly. What do you think of the Oaks, Duff?
Yeah, look, The Oaks is a race that, you know, I still want to see the form franked and come the autumn, but she's done a great job, and Miami Bound and was too good. She was going to win it a long way out.
Yeah, for sure. 13:53:53 if you want to have a chat with the boys over the final 10 minutes of the show. 13:53:53 The memories of the Everest Carnival. Parada win the shorts and the red Zell. Bivouac wins the Golden Rose. Colding did the Epsom and Golden Eagle double. Handle the Truth won the Kosciuszko. And yes, of course, won the Everest. They were the big, strong memories of a Sydney Everest Carnival. We'll chat more about them in a tick, but we've got Damien Oliver joining us on Punters Post Morning. Morning, Ollie.
Morning, Andrew.
And we've got Duff, we've got Dean, and we've got Glenn Munsey as well, mate. It must have been another reflection of the week just gone. You must be wrapped with how it all unfolded.
Yeah, really pleased. It's always good to get have success cup week, 5 winners, and the Oaks and Derby. You'd take that any day of the week.
The Derby seems so long ago now, but how good can Warning be as a, you know, future 3-year-old into the 4-year-old?
Yeah, I think he's, you know, particularly as a 3-year-old, you'd have to look at the AJC Derby as a good target for him. He ran the distance out really strongly and handled the soft ground there, which you can, you know, often get up in Sydney. So he's quite a foolproof kind of horse. And I think he's still got a little bit of improvement to come as well, although he's kind of quite mature already, so, yeah, he looks a nice, promising horse.
Damien, is there one horse out of that you've ridden over the carnival that you think will train on, will you be looking forward to the autumn, that'll train on?
I think probably both the filly from the Oaks and the Derby Duff are both quite comprehensive winners. You know, they won, you know, by dominating margins, and they did it quite well, and I still, you know, obviously it's early spring 3-year-old, so you think there's nice improvement to come from both of them. And even the horse I rode on the final day, Banquo, he's a promising type horse too, only having his 5th start, and he's got a bit of improvement to come as well, I think.
Damien, you've had a magnificent carnival, but what about when you keep getting on a horse like Night's Watch? Do you just walk in and shake your head and say, what am I got to do on this bloke?
he's a little tricky one. He's obviously not great at the start and gets back in his race and relies on a bit of luck. I was probably a little bit dirty on myself in the Cantala that I got sucked into the owners. They came out and I said, oh, get him out of the gates and get him up there. And I kind of just got a bit caught up in that, and I felt if I'd have just let him be comfortable and find his feet and had that looping run, he would have gone close. I'm not sure if he'd have won, but he certainly should have finished a bit closer. And then back up in the McKinnon there on Saturday, I think he was just a bit of a tired horse.
You seem to be really enjoying your riding at the moment.
Yeah, I am, Duff. I think probably, you know, as you get a bit older, you realise you're closer to the end than the start, so you've got to make every post a winner and enjoy it. And I mean, if you can't enjoy those really big days there, you probably shouldn't still be doing it. You know, you've still got to put in the hard yards, which sometimes can be a little bit of a grind, but, you know, when you do get to those big days, you got to enjoy it. Otherwise, I wouldn't still be doing it.
And Ollie, just Danny O'Brien. You know, he's obviously been through a lot in recent times, and you have as well. But you keep, you know, Danny has just kept going. He's been persistent, and here he is with these big wins. He's obviously a trainer you're linked to very strongly.
I think you've got to really take your hat off to Danny with the resilience he's shown over the last few years. I mean, it could have broken a lot of trainers and a lot of their businesses. And, you know, for him to really get back on his feet so quickly, and, you know, I suppose it's a little bit harder for trainers in some regard that, you know, they've got to really put their neck on the line at yearling sales and buy a lot of horses. And, you know, even and for the owners, for him to support him so well as well, to get back on his feet and have such a terrific carnival was really a fantastic job for him. And, you know, I couldn't be happier for him.
Are you going over to Perth this year?
Yeah, I plan to, Duff. I've got a nice ride in the Guineas there, one for Dan and Ben Pierce that ran really well on Saturday there.
Dig Deep. Me.
Dig Deep.
Yeah, that's the one. I thought he ran really well, so he's a nice chance at the Guineas. still just probably wait a little bit on the weights for the railway today to come out. And but I am planning to go over and ride there for a few weeks. Yeah,
beautiful.
Surfboard getting a trip over?
Good chance. Munch, yeah.
I thought that would be immoral.
At the end of this show, Ollie, we always have a horse to follow. Mine's going to be Tahitian Dancer. Would I be that far off the mark?
No, she's a good run there, Dan. Sorry, Dean. She's a bit tricky, that one. She just she can fly the start, and she
Sat
on with me on Saturday, and just took me probably 200 or 300 metres to get a bit of cover on her. And whereas the previous start she drew wide, and it kind of made me commit to riding her quiet. So yeah, I think if she's ridden quiet, she's got a good finish on her, not too long a sprint, but it just probably didn't work out for her too well there on Saturday. I got a bit of a checkered path as well, but I think she can certainly make amends.
And you know, we're obviously in a Sydney point of view here on Sky Sports Radio, Dean, but there's been so much Damien, there's been so much discussion around the Sydney and Melbourne carnivals. For me personally, I've loved it. I reckon we've had some tremendous racing in both places. As a jockey that's riding, how have you seen it?
Yeah, I suppose from a Melbourne perspective, it did take a little bit away from some of the races. You know, with the good Sydney horses staying up in Sydney a bit longer, I mean, you just can't deny how strong that prize money is up there. But, I mean, and I can certainly understand, you know, Sydney wanting to boost up their spring carnival as well. I mean, you can look at it two ways from a participant's point of view. You can glass half empty or half full. I mean, it does probably spread out more of the trainers and jockeys and horses, so there's more opportunities for more prize money there. And, you know, I mean, from a participant's point of view, we've got to be grateful that we're and really thankful that we're racing for huge prize money. But, you know, it probably just can dilute the competition a little bit to some degree as well.
Yeah, it'll be interesting over a period of time just how it works out and where trainers and their owners want to take their horses. Hey, Damien, thanks for taking our call. We appreciate it on a Monday. We look forward to watching you in Perth over the next few weeks starting Saturday week.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Damien. Damien Oliver taking our call there. And at the time where you asked him about Night's Watch, True Blue came out. What happened to Night's Watch, Ollie? he's one of those horses, Dean, isn't he? I saw him there, what was it, 3 or 4 runs ago, coming through on the inside, and you thought, gee, you're going to win a good race.
Yeah, and it's passing him by a bit. He's running out of time. He's got the ability to win a good race. He's just got to go and do it now.
I saw him in a trial of 2 months ago, and I haven't got off his back since.
I'll tell you who is waiting, the bloke that's got the tape measure and everything for the statue in the office.
Yeah.
He just needs to know what time he's got a lob to get all the measurements done.
That's good.
Him.
He wears the same colours as Tom as well. So
yeah, I just don't know how he compares Tom size-wise. You know,
yeah, okay.
We might be able to just do a pigeon pair. Well, he's a brown.
Well, Outback Barbie's off the list after Saturday. She was
only just, though. Only just, yeah.
Was good, though, Duff, Outback Barbie, I thought.
No, it's a nice confidence-building win for a... Tony's
a very strong race, that last race. That was the strongest race they've had in Brisbane for a very, very long while. Like, horses like Tambo's mate are absolutely on fire. Outback Barbie, of course, Chapter and Verse went sensational. So look out for them right throughout the summer in the good races up there in Brisbane.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, just before we get horses to follow, I mentioned just before Ollie came on about the Everest Carnival with the wins of Parada and Bivouac winning the Rose, and Colding does the double, the Epsom Golden Eagle. What stands out, Duff, over the last 6 or 7 weeks?
Look, Colding's been the horse that's come from nowhere that's just kept delivering. You know, those three-year-olds, they've all had they all had their moments, didn't they? Yes, 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 Bivouac and Exceedance, they're top quality colts. That's proven now. But they were the big time performance, I would have thought.
Munns?
Well, just the three-year-olds against the older horses, Andrew. Typically, you know, sprinting three-year-olds against the older horses, it's much harder for them to win. You know, because you're taking on the real old hard heads. At least if you're a staying three-year-old with a bit of promise, you know, you're racing against tired legs. And the fact that the form's held up so well. So I think we'll see, you know, well, we say it every year. Will we see a change in the way that people attack their runners for the Everest next year?
Yeah, no, that's right. And what about from Melbourne? I know still Sandown to go, Dean, and Ballarat after that. Like us, we've got the new Hunter and the Gong to come at Newcastle and Kembla. But was it the Japanese dominance outside the Melbourne Cup?
I think the Les Grosseurs and the Cox Plate was the highlight, Andrew. But, the Melbourne Cup still, especially with what transpired this year, was still the highlight.
Yep, Vaughan de Clare winning it with Danny O'Brien and Craig Williams. And, of course, as the boys mentioned earlier, Craig earlier winning the Singapore Gold Cup last night. I just have a couple of SMSs. Would Karif running second to True Self be in the 2020 Melbourne Cup horse? I guess he's posing the question around Prince of Arran, that it ran third and it had to sort of come out and win another race, didn't it, Dean?
Yeah, he did, Andrew. He's over the balloting clauses, but it now comes down to order of entry for Karif, because both of his two placings in the past 2 weeks have got him over the balloting clauses. But he needs a win and needs to get himself up around that 50, for the age he'll be next year, around the 53.5-54 kilo mark to assure himself a start.
All right, horses to follow. Duff, what have you found for us?
Look, I don't know. They've probably gone back to the paddock, but I do think that they're good quality horses. Blazer Trail and Celsabil, third and fourth out of the Golden Gift, and they'll come back better horses.
Okay, so a couple of two-year-olds there. What about you, Glenn?
She finished a fair way back on Saturday, but I'm just waiting. Nikki's Gold, I think, is racing very, very well, but she desperately needs a wet track.
Yep, understand. And what about from the week of racing you've had, Dean?
Yeah, as I mentioned with Ollie, I think Tahitian Dance from the last on Saturday, as he said, she began just probably too well for her and down the straight was exposed and then got taken down to the inside, and it was a total forgive run. And I think, she won't be at Sandown next week, but the Ballarat Cup meeting or the Pakenham Cup meeting in weeks to come, she could win a mare's race for sure.
All right, jot it down, Tahitian Dancer.
Could say female jockeys, Andrew. They rode the card yesterday at Moree. The girl, it's including Michaela, we rode four winners. And then Wendy Peel came out and won the Cotton Cup winner at Warren. So the girls are absolutely flying in the bush.
They are. Well done to all of them. And I want to wrap it up by sending all our wishes to everyone that's fighting these terrible fires. It's been an unbelievable weekend. And our firemen that to step up and do what they've been doing over the last few days, mid-North Coast and beyond and into Queensland, it is extraordinary. And we just hope that just in some way we can get through over the next little while and these fires can settle down. But that certainly comes from everybody listening to Sky Sports Radio. Duff, you enjoy the week. We'll talk to you again on Saturday.
Thanks, Andrew. See you guys.
And Dean, you too as well, mate.
Thank you, Andrew.
And Munns, good
I'll
swinging.
Talk to you next Monday.
Next Monday, yes, you're off, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes, I'm getting a wedding, so don't worry, Andrew, I'll record the Wingman ad for next Saturday morning. It will be there for the Wingman beer, 3.5%, the coolest, crispest, cleanest lager that you have tasted. And if you go down and purchase a can of it and don't like it, take it back and they'll refund your money. 1-300-455-BEER.
Oh, geez, you get away with it early, don't you? We'll edit it up. If you do it, we'll edit the short version to air.
No. I'll be recording the 90-second version, Andrew, for Saturday morning.
Talk to you then. Thanks, mate.
See you, mate. Thank you.
Glenn Munsey there. That completes Punters Postmortem. And by the way, Mark Arundale, our caller of the Grafton Greyhounds, has just let me know that the Grafton Greyhounds tonight have been called off due to smoke, air quality and visibility. So take note, participants in that area, tonight's Grafton Greyhounds off due to smoke, air quality and visibility. Coming up next, Sean Cosgrove's got both of our previews for Thoroughbred racing today.